And here we go!
That was loud, wasn't it?
Oh, I can't help myself. Welcome to the Ignite Rock Podcast. This is your host, Ahmed Khalifa, and this is episode 13. How exciting. I'm really, really happy that you guys are here. And today is going to be slightly different to how I normally do it. Because you see, normally I say we talk to awesome individuals who are creating some awesome stuff using WordPress. But today it's a little bit different, but it's going to be really, really cool because I'm going to be talking to Alban Brook, the Director of Marketing at Buzzsprite. And if you've never heard of Buzzsprite, they are the podcast hosting platform, and I am using them myself for this podcast, so I knew I had to invite someone from Buzzsprite to have a chat about Orson's podcast. It's going to be a really, really cool episode. Hope you're going to enjoy it. And if you want show notes, they are available on ignitewalk.com/episode13. If you wait until the end of the show, there's also a special offer for those who are looking to use Buzzsprite for their own podcasting project as well. So, sit back, relax, and enjoy the show as I talk to Alban Brook. And here we go, everyone. We have Alban Brook on the call all the way from the Buzzsprite headquarters. I'm really, really happy that he managed to find a time to talk to us. So, Alban, thank you so much for your time. Really, really appreciate it. It'd be really good to start off to just to tell us a little bit about yourself. Who are you? Where are you from? And how did you get to where you are today?
All right. Well, thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to be on the show. A little bit about me. I work for Buzzsprout. I'm the head of our marketing here. And before this, I was an attorney. We live in the United States. Still, you know, keep up to date with everything about being an attorney and do some legal work for us, but primarily am focused on marketing all of our digital products.
So most people who are listening to this, I think they will not be very, very familiar with Buzzsprite. So could you just briefly explain who is Buzzsprite and what do they do?
Sure. So Buzzsprout is a podcast hosting platform. And what that means is we really help people get podcasts online. So you record and you edit it, and then we provide a place to host it so that you can get it into iTunes and get it spread out to you know, the world. So you can think of it as like Amazon S3, but for podcasts.
And how long has Buzzsprite been around for?
Buzzsprout's been around since 2008. So the RSS spec, you know, when people started podcasting, it's about 2004. And we had a little product called Insights. And Insights was kind of like a very, very old but not very good version of, you know, what Squarespace is now. It's a website builder.
Yeah.
And so we had this, and a lot of the people were churches or nonprofits. And so they would reach out to us and say, hey, I really want to record my sermons or some messages, and I want to get them online. And so we started working that into Insights, and eventually we came to the conclusion, you know, this is really – there's a lot of people who want to start podcasts that aren't necessarily Insights customers. So we created Buzzsprout as an entirely separate company.
So it sounds like the original – reason for starting Buzzsprite, the founder thought there had been a demand from the church market. Is that correct?
Yeah, so a lot of the original people who were reaching out to us were churches and nonprofits. I think at that point we had two products that were, one was focused to nonprofits. It was called Donor Tools that we still have and we still work on. And then we also had a product called Insights, like we were talking about. And most of those customers were nonprofits and churches, just since I think those were our connections originally. And
okay, that's interesting. I'll get thinking, like, is there like a ratio of the type of podcasters who uses Buzzsprite? I'm going to guess the majority are in the churches and nonprofit sector, really.
Yeah, so podcasts as a whole, I think this is not widely known, but I would say almost half of podcasts are churches or nonprofits.
Wow.
And the reason for that is these are groups that are already putting together content every week. You know, if a pastor is putting together a sermon all week and he gives a 45-minute talk, that's a ton of effort put into a great piece of content. And so for them, it made sense. You know, even if you have a church of only 150 people, you want to be able to get that sermon online, hold on to it, keep a record, and people can re-listen to it. So it's a very easy jump for churches since they're doing all of the hard work.
Yep.
And then they do a teeny bit of a little extra work to get online. For most podcasters, you know, a lot of people say, hey, I'd love to start a podcast. And then when they start getting into it and they see the commitment it takes, I'm sure you've experienced this as well. You know, you start putting in the hard hours of putting together a great piece of content and recording and getting good guests and editing and doing all of the production. When you do all of that work, you know, a lot of people drop off. So I think that's why podcasting as a whole and with our customer base, it kind of ends up being about, I would say, about 50-50.
Wow. I actually never knew that at all. 50%, I mean, approximately 50% is such a high number, because I think most people, you know, when they think of podcast and in their sector, they have their own industry leaders.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, you know, I'm looking at the likes of, you know, John Lee Dumas on EO Fire, or, you know, Pat Flynn, Smart Passive Income. You know, these are big, big names in the podcast industry. But, you know, off the top of my head, I would never be able to tell you in the church or nonprofit who are the big names. But I guess, you know, the whole point is podcast is for everyone. You don't have to be a big figure really to have your own podcast.
Yeah, and I would make the distinction that I don't think that churches or nonprofits are maybe even a third of the podcast listens. I'd imagine it's even less. You've got some really big church podcasts, and I think of things like, you know, John Piper, somebody who has a very large church and a large following. But, you know, that's drastically outweighed by the Serials and the John Lee Dumas's and Pat Flynn's of the world. Those are the, you know, really large podcasts that have lots of listeners. And then you've got tons of small podcasts. And those are mostly, I think, where most of the churches end up. So those are, you know, relatively hundreds of listens per episode. It's not millions of listens per episode.
Yeah. And just out of curiosity, how many podcasts does Buzzsprout host?
I'm not exactly sure what number we're at now. I think we've had about 50,000 people start a podcast with us. And a lot of people, you know, never, you know, follow through. And then some just stay on free plans forever. I'm exactly sure what the number is. But definitely growing quite a bit. Got a lot of, you know, a lot of cool podcasts.
Yeah. It's a very competitive market, you know, to be, you know, a podcast host. There's so many names out there that have been around longer, other ones quite newer. So how do you differentiate yourself from the other podcast hosts out there?
Sure. So, you know, some of the other big names like Podbean or maybe even SoundCloud or Libsyn, some of them have been around for a while or have, you know, maybe a larger name. But I think the origin story for kind of has shaped how we're different. So Libsyn, the first one to really get out a great RSS spec, they did a great job of, you know, helping get their podcasts in early on, 2004. Buzzsprout, our target market was a volunteer who was, you know, maybe uploading sermons at her church. And so while some of our competitors are more focused for a technical audience, we initially focused on, you know, more just normal people who wanted to be able to upload something and didn't have the time to get in every single piece. So it shaped a lot of what we've done. So we do things like we automatically convert file types. We optimize the bitrate so that it's easy to download the file for anywhere, no matter what their internet speed. We'll automatically tag all of your episodes with ID3 tags so we can remove that aspect out of people's, you know, workflow. So everything we're doing is trying to simplify the process of podcasting. And at times there's people who say, oh no, I want to upload an episode in this incredibly high bitrate. And, you know, the answer for that is there are, if you have a very technical requirements, there are some of our competitors that I would actually recommend them to. But we believe for, you know, 95% of podcasters, Buzzsprout is a significantly easier workflow.
And definitely the other thing, you know, that kind of attracted me to Buzzsprout is the fact that you can try it out for free, you know, 2 hours every month. Obviously, after a certain period of time, it get deleted. But the fact that you can experiment it with it for 2 hours a month or just have fun with it, it's definitely an appealing thing about Buzzsprout. So I really like that feature as well. And the other thing I've noticed about Buzzsprout is that they have their own kind of metric. So instead of looking at the number of subscribers, I believe that Buzzsprout doesn't think that it's the best metric to track. You have your own metric, and you know, it's called listeners. So could you explain why do you think, you know, the number of subscribers is not a good metric to track? What is the listeners metric that you have?
Yeah, so there's a couple issues with subscriber metric. Was developed in conjunction with RSS feeds. And if you remember, before RSS feeds were really used for podcasts, they mainly were for back when the internet was so slow that you didn't want to go to all the blogs that you liked. You wanted, whenever they published new content, which was relatively rare, so for them, they wanted to be able to see how many people are connecting directly to us to download this content or receive this content. Then it, when it became for podcasts, you know, there's a couple issues with that. Now there's, you know, people that will subscribe to your podcast on three different devices. You know, I've got an iPad, a computer, and a phone, all of which might be connected to your feed. Well, from a subscriber look standpoint, that's three subscribers. From a listener standpoint, I look at that and say that's one person. So you get a couple issues. So we tried to develop our own metric. So we try to do a few smart things. We try to see how many people are going to listen to the episode. At least our goal is to give you a number of how many people in the next 90 days are going to listen to this episode.
Right.
And so while a subscriber is going to really be like the day that you release it, we're trying to look at a little bit more of a long tail. And we're also trying to say, if I see it all coming from one IP address, I'm going to identify that as being a single individual. If I see you download the episode 10 times in a row, that's a single download. Yeah. So we try to do a couple things that are a little bit smarter to give you a more accurate idea of how many human beings are on the other end listening to your podcast.
Right. Okay. That makes a lot of sense. I never thought about, you know, how the number of subscribers could be slightly flawed. And you're right, Beth, if you have several different devices and you listen to all of them, it could count as, you know, three different subscribers. So it's interesting that Buzzsprout has their own metric, and I know it's a secret algorithm, so I'm not going to push you into that, but it's really, really interesting that the listeners' metrics is certainly very, very unique. The fact that it's the number of plays that Buzzsprout expect your next episode to get within the first 90 days. So that's really, really interesting. So thank you for sharing that as well. So, of course, this being, you know, all about WordPress, and, you know, the audience is about WordPress, and I'm talking a lot about WordPress. You know, one thing about Buzzsprout is that you have your own podcast plugin as well. So could you explain, you know, what does the podcast do? And also, what was the decision that made you decide that you want to have your own WordPress plugin as well?
You know, as you know, if you've got a podcast, you likely already have a website. And if you don't, a lot of people are looking to start a website. And I really encourage people to do them in conjunction, because while podcasts are a great way to convert followers into sales or into, you know, people that maybe will listen to the episode and you could monetize it by selling ads or something, while it's great for that part, it's really hard to get people to find your podcast. And so I really like having a website, because you can do things like search engine optimization and provide a landing page that will become a stream of new customers to your podcast. So that's one reason why I love having a website. And WordPress is just a great setup. And I know you already know this, but it's a great setup because it provides an incredible amount of flexibility, and it's still not as technical as building something from the ground up. And, you know, it's really easy to get started. There might be a couple other ways that it might be a little bit easier to get started if you want to do something with like maybe Wix or, maybe Squarespace, but you don't get the same level of flexibility that you do with a WordPress site. So we have lots of customers that build great, beautiful WordPress sites, and so we want to provide a plugin for them. And so what the plugin does is it allows you to search, find an episode that you uploaded, and then embed that episode on your page. And the reason we do that is most people are going to have like a blog, and they'll embed a player on their page and say, here's the episode. And then for search engine purposes, we'll put in show notes or a description, maybe some links to things that were discussed or the, maybe the person you are interviewing, so that you can, attract new people to your podcast. So I guess that's a little bit longer of an answer you wanted, but yeah, that's why we decided to go down the WordPress route.
Yeah, it makes sense. And of course, I can agree with you that, WordPress gives you a massive amount of flexibility and, to do a lot of things with your website. So having a plugin makes sense. And even from my own site, I use the plugin as well. But sometimes you can use the embed code directly on your WordPress site anyway, and that works for me as well. But of course, if you have that plugin to make it a little easier for you, that's also another option as well. So it's really, really cool that that you guys have WordPress plugin to make it all easier for us. So very, very cool. So, in terms of, podcasting industry, it's kind of trendy right now. So obviously a lot of people, are thinking about starting their own podcast. So what advice do you have for anyone who just wants to start their own podcast?
So this was a question I kind of was playing around with last night. And one of the things I think about a lot is that people see the trend and they go, oh, man, I could do that. I'm going to start a podcast. And then they start thinking about, well, what would I start a podcast about? And I think my advice is don't become over infatuated with the medium. The way to get your message out isn't the exciting thing. Podcasts are not the most exciting thing. The most exciting thing is the content you're providing. And, what podcasting allows you to do is get this content out to a really, really focused audience. So, in your podcast, for example, would be really tough to have a radio show, broadcast into a metropolitan area about building WordPress sites and interesting things happening in WordPress. That'd be a tough thing to sell to a radio, but it's something in a podcast can be incredibly successful. So I'd say the first thing you want to do is identify something you're passionate about that you really want to be talking about and that has some concrete goals. So we've given a talk at Podcast Movement a couple of years, and our advice is early on, after you've picked out a topic, come up with some goals of, what's going to be success for your podcast, and think people can get disheartened when they look at numbers like maybe Pat Flynn, how much he can make off of his podcast. They'll go, man, I'm never going to get there. I'm only at 25 listens. Well, if you're a church, for example, and you've got 100 members, 25 listens is an incredible number. That's 25 people that you're friends with that missed the service that got to listen. That's a great win. If we've met people who use Buzzsprout and have like a real estate business, and they're only focused on real estate in a certain area and connecting with people. And for them, 200 listens is an incredible win because those are all high-value clients and people they're able to turn ultimately into leads and then into clients. And so I think early on, once you've identified what you want to talk about, then identify what's going to be the measure of success for you? And then there's tons of amazing resources. We provide a lot on our website, but everywhere on the web, there's tons of things about how to start a podcast, how to market it, and how to, you know, remain disciplined and focused in continuing to work on your podcast.
It makes a lot of sense that, you know, basically you should kind of niche yourself to a specific area. Mm-hmm. And it makes a lot of sense when, you know, there's so much content out there, it's quite saturated. And basically, if you hyper-focus to a specific topic, and of course you're passionate about it, it really makes sense that, you know, to focus on that area instead of just trying to go for a scattergun approach and just aim for anything. So it really does make sense about just focusing on an area, be passionate about it, and go for it. You never know what you can get. And don't aim for a high number, I agree with you. You don't have to aim for thousands or millions of listeners. Even a few dozen could make a big impact as well for you and for them, ultimately.
There's a lot of podcasts out there that are, you know, two or three people kind of just talking about current events and the things they like, which for a couple podcasters, that works. But overall, that's a saturated market, and it's hard to attract new listeners unless they love your personality.
Yeah.
But I'm telling you, if there is a podcast out there that's on taxidermy, and there's podcasts on hunting, and there's podcasts on everything. And so if you have something, I mean, we have a really successful podcast that all they talk about are the old Dreamcast video game system, and they're doing really well with it. It's a podcast. What it does provide you is, like you said, you can find a niche, you can find something you love, and then you can, you know, really work on that message.
And it makes sense as well, because even if you have that niche, you find your audience. Of course, if you want to kind of move up to the next level and you want to start growing your audience, you know, it's mm-hmm. a natural thing to do. So what advice would you have for those who want to grow their audience?
Sure. So this is definitely the biggest question we get beyond how do I start a podcast. The next question is how to grow it. And I think it's probably the greatest pain point. For a lot of podcasters. The first thing I think is, if you have a really good niche and you may be the only one there, try to connect with communities who are also into those things. So I would recommend looking on Quora and see if there's people who are asking questions that your podcast answers. Is there a community of people on Reddit that are really into the same thing? So try to connect to those communities. If you're really passionate about it, I bet you have a lot of connections in that community and you can reach out to them. So that may be personal, maybe going to conferences, it may be social media. All of those are great avenues. I've met people who their entire podcast growth strategy was kind of being audacious and asking for podcast guests. So they would just ask the biggest guest they would ever think of. And if they said yes, they would get this great guest, they'd do a great interview, they'd do a lot of work editing it, and then they'd say, here's the link to the episode, thank you so much, I'd love it if you'd share it with your audience. So this was a guy who did reviews with bands, and so bands were constantly tweeting out links to his podcast, and that was his entire growth strategy. Couple others, as far as social media, I really like, if you can be consistent with social media and blog posts, so got a WordPress site, always post a blog post to, that you've tried to SEO for the relevant keywords. You can, you know, invite companies to sponsor you. So trying to work with a company to maybe do a giveaway on your podcast, and you can talk about their products, or maybe do a review. That often works really well. You can do video versions of your podcast. You can maybe record yourself actually recording it with a video recording and start a little YouTube channel. So there's, you know, lots of ideas. We definitely tried to address this quite a bit on our blog. So if people are interested on buzzsprout.com/blog, we try to get a lot into marketing your podcast ideas.
And it's kind of, you know, this applies to any kind of content, isn't it? If you want to promote, you should kind of reach out, look at communities and Quora, use social media, use SEO. So it's kind of similar to any kind of content and not just podcasts. So it makes a lot of sense what you said. So it's really useful to know as well, just to hear it from yourself. So sounds really cool. So,
nice.
You know, it's just to kind of, you know, last couple of questions. Is what is Buzzsprout's plan for the future?
The plan for the future is we're definitely dedicated to podcasting and we love it. And, you know, we're growing faster than we ever have before. So, you know, we've recently launched some things like, you know, we did a complete site redesign last year and we've, you know, added some really cool import features so you can bring in your entire previous feed. We did that probably December weeks ago. We added the ability to share videograms to Facebook so you can actually get a really cool visual component to share on Facebook to bring people in. We call that the visual soundbite. So focusing more on ways to share podcasts and to grow audiences and to overall kind of just stay ahead of the curve as far as where podcasting is going so that we can help you reach new audiences as more and more people become aware of podcasts.
And I definitely want to, you know, highlight the visual soundbite. It's a very, very cool feature. So if anyone who wants to see it in action, just head over to the our Facebook page on facebook.com/IgniteRock. And I have myself use that visual soundbite and really give you a snippet of the podcast episode in a Facebook post. It's a really, really cool feature, which I use quite often as well. So it's really, really cool. So it's really been really good chatting to you, Alvin, and really appreciate, you know, giving us your time and, you know, just an insight of how to grow and the future and all these things. So really, really appreciate your time. And if anyone wants to, you know, connect with yourself or with Buzzsprout, what's the best thing to do?
Sure. We're on Twitter at Buzzsprout. You know, I see all of that, so we can always reply. And if you have any questions or you have any questions about podcasting in general, you know, feel free to reach out, support@buzzsprout.com, and, you know, ask for me, and I'm sure the support team will route it right over. And, you know, we're more than happy, even if you're not with Buzzsprout, if you run into a technical issue, we're always happy to see if there's anything we can do to help.
That's really, really cool. So, Alvin, thank you very much again. And, you know, I'm looking forward to working more with Buzzsprout. So thank you.
Thank you, Alvin. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Alvin, once again for coming onto the show. I really, really appreciate it. And I really enjoyed talking to you. So as you can tell, listeners, I'm an affiliate of Buzzsprout. So it's obvious that I'm going to be talking praise of them. But at the same time, it's not a lie when I talk well of them. I have been using them since the very first time I've started podcasting here, and since then I have not really had any problems at all. I really enjoyed using it. I had such fun podcasting. I really enjoyed using the product. Really, really cool product. And the couple of times when I wanted support, their support is really, really awesome as well. So I really, really recommend Buzzsprout. So if you do want to use Buzzsprout, make sure you visit ignitevox.com/Buzzsprout. And if you upgrade to a paid plan after clicking on the link, you upgrade to a paid plan for 2 months and you can get a $20 Amazon.com gift card from Buzzsprout. So ignitevox.com/Buzzsprout. Upgrade to a paid plan for 2 consecutive billing cycles and you'll get a $20 Amazon.com from gift card. The show notes are available on igniterock.com/episode 13, and I would also really appreciate it if you could leave a review on iTunes if you've enjoyed the show as well. It would make me so happy and it really helped me to reach out to as many people as I can. So thank you for listening. In the meantime, let's rock with WordPress.